Yeah, it's a download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. Nice little Parks and Rec theme song there from Pete Zimmerman. Appreciate that. Dave Schwann's in studio with me. This year marks the 100th anniversary of the National Park Service. To commemorate that anniversary, WGN Radio's Dave Schwann put together a great series of reports on some of the national parks here in the Midwest. Everything from the dunes to the parks along Lake Superior back down to the newest park in Pullman. Dave's got you covered.
You do. Thank you.
He's with me now in studio tonight. We'll talk about the national parks, what they mean to the people that surround them and use them on a daily basis. We'd love to hear from you. What are your favorite national parks in the Midwest? Or better yet, I mean, the country.
411.
We share our love for Yosemite, and we'll talk about that in just a second. 312-981-7200. Text or call in. What's your favorite national park that you visited in this country? Dave Schwann, good to see you.
Good to see you, Justin.
It's good to have you down here, too. You know, usually I see you up on the seventh floor. All right, so let's talk. Why an interest in putting together this series?
Well, basically, it started last year when President Obama was here to designate the Pullman area on the far south side as a national monument, the first national park place that will be maintained by the National Park Service in Chicago. And up until last year, we've only had one other in Illinois, and that was Abraham Lincoln's home. And that's only been supervised by the National Park Service since about 1971.
Wow.
That was a state historic site for a long time, up until that time. And then the Park Service moved in and just changed a lot of things.
We think of parks and you think of trees and lakes and things like that. But this is different. In the state of Illinois, we're talking about monuments and historic landmarks.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The National Park Service takes in many different things. But during President Obama's remarks during the dedication last year, happened to be there because I was working on a series on Pullman, but he mentioned that 2016 would be the 100th anniversary of the National Park Service in the country. And while, frankly, other countries have park services and so forth and preserve things, nothing is like this anywhere else in the world, that what we have here in our country.
Right.
And as I was listening to him speak, I thought, there's an idea for a series next year. So I was rolling it around in my mind all this time. And first of this year, Judy Pilak and Todd Mandley were on board with this. And they gave me
the
go ahead
and
thank them.
And I like it because you're in the spot. And you talk about, in your series, you're really talking about the Midwest. Talk about, the parks that are along Lake Michigan, Lake Superior, because as you mentioned, Illinois just has the Abraham Lincoln spot in Springfield and Pullman.
Pullman, right. But, those are, again, national parks.
Right. On the other side, you've got, when you go up the Michigan side, you're getting more national parks that people know in this area.
You're right. And while you go into Michigan, you have the Indiana Dunes National Lakeshore.
Right.
Which is situated between Gary and Michigan City, having its 50th anniversary as a national park. Interesting story about the Indiana Dunes. When I think his name was James Mather, from the Chicago area, became the first superintendent of the National Park Service in 1916. One of the first places he wanted to maintain and preserve was that dune area there. Along the very, very
Michigan,
southern
yeah.
tip of Lake Michigan. And a lot of things got in the way. Obviously, there's a lot of industry there.
I was going to say, that's an industrial corridor.
There's very much an industrial corridor. And even into the 1950s, there was a feeling among some people there that weren't really worth saving. Some people said, just leave it be. Let it go. It was an Illinois senator, U.S. senator from Illinois, Paul H. Douglas, that approached President Kennedy about saving this and making it a national lakeshore. How do we do this? And there were other aspects about that, with industry, as you say, an industrial corridor. They came up with a compromise. As a result, they got the Port of Indiana, an international port, and the acreage for the Indiana Dunes National Lakeshore. So it finally became what it is now in 1966.
And that's the one that people in Illinois, at least, are going to know best because it's right over the border in Indiana.
Right around the corner.
That's a huge tourist attraction, especially in the summertime. People are there all the time, even though they've had some problems with dunes and things like that in the future.
Yes, they
have. Let's talk about, as you go up to Traverse City, and you go up to the UP, That's national parkland, sort of Midwest style.
It very much so. And to start with the Sleeping Bear Dunes, if you just want to go north up the lake. Sleeping Bear Dunes became a national lakeshore somewhere in the early 1970s also. But you've got dunes that are 300-400 feet in the air that have at least a 60-degree slope. They're just stunning. Not only that, acres and acres and acres of wooded areas and wildlife that has all been maintained and preserved. There's a beautiful drive that you can take with a car, a bicycle called the Pierce-Stockton Drive. Not only is it beautiful winding through the wooded areas, there are stops along the way where you can walk out and look over the lake. It's unbelievable.
My cousin had a wedding up in that area not too long ago. And when I went up there, I drove up. And when I got to that area, and it's great the way that the park ranger or whoever you talk to in the piece talked about it being kind of like the Caribbean. The way when you get up to that area. But it was just amazing to me. Like, I was like, this is California-like. I mean, this is unbelievable land.
It is. And because of the way in which the dunes were formed, they're remnants of the glacier area. We're looking at remnants of the Ice Age 20,000 years ago, which was how the Great Lakes themselves were formed. And they gave us this spectacular beauty.
312-981-7200. Call and let us know what you think of the national parks in the area, which ones that you like, any sort of facts and figures that you want to throw at us. So we're curious as well. Also, talk about not just in this area. I mean, Pete and I were talking about some of the national parks. He was talking about in Texas. I was talking about in California that we visited. Dave Schwann's in studio with me. We're talking about his series on the 100th anniversary of the National Park Service. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back, talk more. Stay with us. It's a download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman in studio with me, Dave Schwann, WGN Radio, talking about his series about the National Park Service anniversary, 100 years, which is really tremendous if you think about. I mean, and it's also not that long a time.
I know, 100 years.
That's what kind of blows my mind a little bit.
Actually, you know, the first national park was Yellowstone, and it was named such in the 1860s.
Okay.
Late 1860s.
But there wasn't a service.
But not a service, not a park system, an organized park system. It was just land that was set aside, and one thing led to another, and it evolved into the National Park Service.
You know, we were talking about Yosemite. I mean, I learned from the tour in Yosemite that it was Teddy Roosevelt that was a big conservationist who helped sort of usher in the national park system
exactly.
as we know it. Yeah.
That's right. That's absolutely right. He was out there and saw that irreplaceable, indescribable, beauty that's out there. Unless you're Ansel Adams or somebody like that, spectacular photographer, pictures don't do it justice.
No, it doesn't. It's amazing. I mean, if you haven't been to Yosemite, it's in California. I guess it's west of San Francisco.
Well, west you'd be in the ocean.
Oh, sorry, east of San Francisco, right?
about 2 to 3 hours east of San Francisco.
And it's sort of a carved out from the glaciers valley with huge peaks and waterfalls and everything that you would expect to see on a calendar is at Yosemite.
Yeah.
And they were able to protect that.
Yeah, they were. A gentleman by the name of John Muir, M-U-I-R, was very instrumental in protecting that and maintaining it. Yosemite became a national park, I think, soon after the Park Service was found. But if I could tell a story,
please,
and I'm sure you could relate to this as well, and I think anybody that's been to a place like Yosemite can identify with this. A good friend of mine got married out there.
Wow.
Over 25 years ago. He and his wife would go skiing there. They live in California. They'd go skiing, and they liked it so much that they decided they were going to have their wedding there, and they did. Well, we all got in a few days before the wedding and stayed in the park, actually. And on my first day there, he said, "I'm going to show you around." And he was just being real coy. You know, I said, "Turn left here, you know, drive around this way. And I want to show you one more view." And it was the view of what the standard photo, more or less, is of Yosemite, the Bridal Veil Falls.
So good.
Valley.
Yeah.
I will never forget seeing that for the first time. I was stunned. I was positively stunned. And I was fortunate growing up to take vacations all over this country, and we did a lot of national parks, Yellowstone, et cetera, et cetera. And I always appreciated it. But that experience
so beautiful.
In Yosemite hit me and said, yes, we need to protect these forever.
312-981-7200. What national park hits you? Let's go to Bonnie. Bonnie, talk about what your favorite national park experience has been.
Oh, well, I really appreciate the show that you're having, because they are a treasure. And to see the United States is what we have here is just fantastic. My favorite is one that not a lot of people go to. They go to the South Rim of the Grand Canyon. The North Rim of the Grand Canyon is, I believe, my favorite.
Why? What distinguishes the North from the South?
Well, first of all, the trees, the greenery.
It's more green.
In September, I always would go in September to go to go camping on the edge of the North Rim.
That's crazy.
The Grand Canyon. And I have to say, I was in a trailer, so because of physical condition, I can't sleep in a tent, but. I've never seen it so dark in my life or so beautiful. Mm. But the colors during the day were so different than the South Rim. Mm. But the fir trees, just all those beautiful fir trees, it felt like, after being at the South Rim, it felt like heaven. We drove from Chicago to out to the South.
Wow, that sounds like quite a trip. I would say that's probably the best way to do that.
You're lucky to have spent time at the North Rim. It's not accessible year-round like the South Rim is, so you're lucky to have experienced
that. That's why people don't know it, yeah. Well, the Grand Canyon is obviously a fan favorite for people when it comes to the national parks, but, you know, let's continue the conversation. We'll take a break to get to Martyr in the news here, and we'll continue afterwards. 312-981-7200. I'll talk about some of the national parks out east. We haven't talked about the national parks up in the sort of New England area, Maine.
Acadia
National Park. That's an amazing park, and we'll continue the conversation here. 312-981-7200. Stay with us. It's a download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. In studio with me, Dave Schwann from WGN Radio, his series on the anniversary of the National Park Service. 100th anniversary is up at WGNradio.com. You kind of put them all together because they air almost like it's a minute package throughout the
90
week.
90 seconds. Yeah. They've been airing this week. The final 90-second segment will air tomorrow.
Okay.
But you can go to WGNradio.com, and they're right on
with
the home page.
The photos
page
and the slideshow. Yep,
right.
Really
National
nice.
Parks are Midwest treasures. And we're working on a podcast, which probably will be up next week.
Okay, so the people that use the parks, I mean, because you had such interesting people that you interviewed, from park rangers and to the backstories of the people that either were part of that land or live next to the land. Talk about the relationship between the parks and the people that surround it.
Well, first of all, the people that work in the parks, no matter where they are, whether they're a nature park like the Dunes, Sleeping Bear, or Abraham Lincoln's home, they come from all different walks of life. Some of them we talked to were in the Army for a while. Others have backgrounds in history, geology, science, the arts, all different types of things, and they have gravitated toward areas that fall into their expertise. A historian, for example, Dale Phillips is the superintendent of the Abraham Lincoln Home in Springfield. We had a nice talk with him down there. He's been in the park system for 40 years, and that was a rather prestigious. He put in for that job, he told me, and eventually worked out that he would be there. They have been reassigned to various places. Bob Krumenacher is the superintendent at the Apostle Islands National Lakeshore in Wisconsin. But he was at Valley Forge, You were mentioning Parks and East. He was at Valley Forge before he came out to the Apostle Islands. And the local people in the areas there, they love it, as the people that I've known. They're very proud to have something like that. And I know for a fact that when Pullman was finally designated as a national monument, that was a grassroots effort by those people that have lived in that area of our city.
And I mean, that's a historical landmark in the way that that's the first sort of industrial, organized, planned
industrial
town.
Community. Right, exactly. Everybody lived and worked really in the same place.
That's so amazing.
And not only that, but as we've pointed out in our series and in various stories, a very violent and tragic labor strike in the 1890s.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, that's how Congress ended up...
ended up giving us Labor Day as a holiday.
Huh. Yeah. I just think in my head, I'm like, what is the town outside of Seattle? Redmond?
Redmond, Washington.
Redmond, Washington, in 100 years, they're going to make that a national park because that's where Microsoft is at. Or Apple or one of the things, right? They might. But I mean, you mentioned Valley Forge. Obviously, we all know Valley Forge because of the Battle of Valley Forge. You know, we just now talking about Pullman. There's reasons for these to be designated national parks. Are there any situations where national parks are just designated because it's just beautiful? Where they're like Yosemite, where they're like, no one's touching this.
Well, sure. And that was the chief reason for a Yosemite or Yellowstone. There's one in a couple in Utah, actually. Bryce Canyon National Park has to be seen to be believed. Those rock formations are unbelievable. And one of that's on my list that I have not been to is on my to-do list is Arches National Park out in Utah as well. These places are, you know, you talk about the wonders of nature. It boggles your mind.
Yeah.
It really does.
606 says, being from Wyoming, there's nothing better than hot springs, geysers, and hot mud pits of Yellowstone. And then they also said Redwood National Forest.
Redwood National Forest, definitely. The trees that are some of the oldest living things on the face of the earth there.
Are the Everglades a national park?
Yes, Everglades are a national park.
Okay, I'm just trying to think of the ones I've been to.
Right, Everglades a big national park.
Yeah, right.
It's the southern part of Florida.
Right.
Fascinating area to visit.
Okay, so you got that. And then you think of California, like we said, the Redwoods. 847, the favorite national park is Arches.
National Park. Yeah. And there's, again, rock formations there that over how many, you know, millennia, millions and zillions of years that have taken place shaped by the wind.
312-981-7200. Tell us your favorite national park. I'm trying to think, like, if you were going to do a day trip in the state of Illinois, if you lived in this area, what are your choices when it comes to national parks?
National parks would be the Lincoln Home in
Springfield. The Dunes.
The Indiana Dunes, National Lakeshore. For a day trip, that would be...
A lot to get
a
up.
A lot,
okay,
yeah.
Well, let's say a weekend.
A weekend? Oh, yeah. And not only Abraham Lincoln's home, but, you know, the whole Lincoln Monument down there is,
well, the
with
museum
the city
too.
Is the
right.
Oh, the Abraham Lincoln Museum and Presidential Library is amazing. I want to point out one thing too, Justin, is I feel bad about the fact that we just couldn't get all to all of them.
Right.
There are more than you think in the Midwest, and we're talking about Lincoln. His boyhood home in far southern Indiana, not far from the Kentucky line, is a national park also. Well worth visiting.
Okay.
Definitely.
So a lot of it in this area, I mean, when you think of Indiana, you got the Dunes, you got the boyhood home, you've got Indiana, in Illinois, you've got Springfield, you've got Pullman. What about Wisconsin? Does Wisconsin have national parks?
The Apostle Islands National Lakeshore.
Right.
It's a long drive up there. I can tell you it's a long drive. What they're working on, though, in northern Wisconsin and into Minnesota is a national trail that when it's complete... I've been told that it will be as long or longer than the Appalachian Trail that goes up the east coast of the United States. It will stretch from New York State and all the way around northern Ohio, I guess. I'm not quite sure how it's going to work. I was talking with Paul Labovitz, who's the superintendent of the Indiana Dunes, was telling me about how all of this was going to work. But it's going to go, it's going to end up in like Montana or something.
Let me, I mean, I don't know if you know the answer, but like how often are national parks designated? I mean, we had the big unveiling with President Obama here for Pullman, but how often are new areas of this country designated national parkland?
It can vary. A national park, a full-fledged national park, like Yosemite, Yellowstone, Acadia National Park out on the East Coast, is it really kind of an act of Congress? You know, if somebody puts a bill through our lake shores, for instance, Indiana Dunes, Sleeping Bear, you know, that's, you know, legislators, lawmakers are
they
involved.
Have to, yeah,
but,
right.
For instance, Pullman being a good site and a brand new area in Hawaii, which will talk about the history of forced imprisonment during World War II.
So there's usually, like
President
said,
Obama, the president can designate this.
Okay, okay.
And that's what he did for Pullman.
And there is a difference between, like we said, between national parks and state parks.
People
get confused a lot because there's great state parks in the state of Illinois. Like Starved Rock is a state park.
There's a day trip.
Right
there. Sure,
and people would think that's a national park, but that's a state park.
Yeah, it's a state park along with other parks. Pierre Marquette State Park. New Salem, which is another Lincoln site in the Springfield area, that's a state park. That's not part of the national park area there. Lots of state parks.
Okay, let me go to some of the texters that are texting in here. 815 says Shawnee National Forest.
Shawnee National Forest. Yeah, that's with the actually the Department of Forestry.
Okay, so forests are different than...
Yeah, that would be a national forest, but we were going to include that in this series until we found out it's not a national, under the National Park Service.
So the there's a National Forest area that's different than National Parks.
Right.
I didn't know that.
Right. There's a Redwood National Forest, Redwood National Park.
Okay. There we go. 606 says, don't forget Moab.
Moab,
the desert.
Moab, yes. Okay. Exactly.
That's a national park?
Yeah, it is. And there are other national monuments out in the western part, southwest part of the United States that talk about the amazing story of Native American culture.
That's a
country.
Big part.
What was going on 10,000 years ago in this country?
Jeez. Not sure if they have a park, but the Badlands are beautiful.
Yes.
Is that a national park?
Yeah, I think that's part of it. Mount Rushmore is a national park
right.
in that part of the country. Yeah.
And then the last one here, 219, says, where exactly is Sleeping Bear?
Where exactly is Sleeping Bear? The most familiar town or city is Traverse City, Michigan. But it's actually about 25 miles outside Traverse City, adjacent to the small town of Empire.
Right.
Empire, Michigan.
There you go. I mean, it's great. People are coming around here. 312 says the ones in Alaska are amazing.
Oh, Denali National Park has to be seen to be believed. It just does.
This is great. I'm telling you, Bertrand does the going around the world with the tours.
Oh, yeah.
He's doing a national park tour, Dave Schwann's national park tour.
I'm still recovering from the week.
The Midwest.
From Midwest.
815 says Glacier National Park
Glacier,
in Montana.
Absolutely.
Love that.
Yes.
That's amazing.
Yes.
And then we have the Midwind National Tallgrass Prairie.
Yeah.
Is it a national monument?
That's
a 770.
National monument. Right.
There you go. So much to learn. Dave Schwann, you can find all his reporting at WGNradio.com. It's up on the front page right now with a slideshow. Podcast will be coming out soon.
Hopefully next week on WGN Plus.
Love it. Dave Schwann, thanks so much for coming in.
Oh, you're welcome.
Being a part of it today.
Thank you, Justin.